Well, it's such a privilege to be here. It's been forever. The weather, our health, distractions have just been sort of a trial for all of us. Mm-hmm. And I had this sermon ready for 2 months ago, so it's not old. I updated it last night. So it's new today. This morning we're still in Psalms 119, and this is the eighth message from that book. We're in Psalms 119, verses 29 and 34. This is the psalmist is praying. We believe it's David. And he says, "Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." David promised to run in the way of God's commandments. But David, realizing his weakness, pleads for more teaching. Mm-hmm. David pleads for help in this matter. Mm-hmm. Help comes in the form of grace. Grace comes in the time of need. And David makes a promise, "I will keep to the end." This promise involves diligence. "I will keep a promise" reflects perseverance unto the end. David was known as a man after God's own heart. That means that David had a great love for God. The more we love God, the more we desire to know God's will. Those who have no love for God have no desire to know the will of God.
Amen.
They desire to get as far away from God as they can and from the Word. They are like those who say, "Depart from us. We do not desire the knowledge of His ways." Those who live in their sin hate the light because the light reveals their sin. Why would they want to come near? In the New Testament, Paul wrote in Romans, and it is written, "They love darkness more than the light." Why do they prefer the darkness? Because their deeds are evil. And even among believers who are lukewarm in their love for Christ, tend to be satisfied with what knowledge they do have. This is another evidence of lukewarmness, just being quite content with the level that has been achieved. Paul challenges believers to never stop growing and advancing in the Lord.
Amen.
He challenges believers to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what Peter said in 2 Peter 2:18. "We must guard against complacency," that is, being satisfied with one's own achievement.
Amen.
David had a lot of knowledge about God, about God's law, about God's way, and we see this in many of the Psalms. David is praying for more knowledge, for more experiential knowledge of the truth. In our text, we see David sought after the knowledge of knowing God. He prayed, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." The more we understand our earthly deceitful old man, the more we need the inspired teaching of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. The more we see the need of the enlightening of His Word taught to us by the Holy Spirit. David had especially pleaded for God's grace to spare him from lying in verse 29. He said, "Remove from me the way of lying." David is pleading that the Lord will remove from him the way of lying. Lying is a human trait inherited from Adam's sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
It was David's desire to stick or adhere unto God's commandments and to stick unto his testimonies, as seen in verse 30 and 31. "I have chosen the way of truth." In this verse, we can see that there is a choice and a determination that he desires the way of truth. We desire Jesus, the way to God and the truth of God.
Amen.
We also have a desire to be delivered from the way of lying. David said,
"Amen.
I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have adhered unto thy testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame."
Amen.
David's prayer, "Put me not to shame," David realizes he's not able to stick unto God's testimonies under his own strength. The last time we spoke about David's vow, which was, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Mm-hmm. The word "enlarge" means to make room or to make larger. The Lord enlarged David's heart to make room for his commandments. When the Lord made room for himself in David's heart, David said, "I will run the way of thy commandments." David sees his dependency upon the grace of God to enable him to run the way of his commandments. When the Holy Spirit makes room in our hearts for the commandments of God, we experience joy. There is great joy and pleasure in serving and following in the footsteps of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
When the world knows, which the world knows nothing of, there is joy in what the family of God finds in serving the Lord. The world knows nothing of. Mm-hmm. In Psalm 4, verses 6 and 7, it said, "There be many that say, who will show us any good?" Mm. Those outside of the life of God have no knowledge of his goodness. They have no knowledge of the joy of the people of God. They say, who will show us any good? In Christ, we pray, "Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us."
Amen.
It is when the Lord gives us light and opens up our understanding to see, we begin to understand his word. Until we are called by God, the word of God is just a sealed book. It is written in clean, clear, black and white. And yet the earthly human mind cannot understand what is written in the Word of God, or until the Lord opens their understanding to see it, or until a person is born again by the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Christ. This is such a marvel. After we have learned to see it, how is it possible that somebody can read it and not understand what it says? It is written in clean, simple, clear English. Do you know why they can't understand it? It is because the Lord has not lifted up the light of his countenance upon them.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see because they are blind.
That's right.
There was a time when we were in that category.
Yes.
David said in Psalm 4, verse 6, "Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us." And he continues, Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time of their corn and their wine has increased. In other words, David enjoyed in his heart the joy and the pleasure when the Lord lifted up the light of his countenance upon him. David is able to see and to know and to understand the will of the Lord and to walk therein. When the Lord's countenance is shined upon the heart is overwhelmed with joy and gladness. The light of God's word always brings joy and gladness.
Amen.
When the world has received the increase of their corn and wine, their entertainment, their things of pleasure, their hearts are overjoyed for a short while. But David said, I have more gladness in my heart than theirs.
Amen.
And it's everlasting.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Because the countenance of the Lord, the light of his countenance, has shined upon David and upon David's will and upon his word. David said, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. The greatest joy that David had was in knowing and doing the will of God. And this is where his heart is overwhelmed. When the heart is enlarged, when room is made for the knowledge of his ways, the heart has been made clean and swept clean of the old leaven and making room for the will of God. Such enlargement of the heart can only be made through God's ordained means. The world will tell us, you need to enlarge your mind by studying and reading more books. But Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Amen.
Is this so hard to understand? That's the conclusion of the whole matter. For this is the whole duty of man. Why do we fear God and his commandments? For God will bring every work into judgment.
Yeah.
God will bring judgment according to our doings. He will not judge according to our experiences or who had the biggest and the best experience. He's going to judge according to our works. It will be by his commandments. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, God will bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. David is pleading with God, teach me the way of thy statutes. In other words, that I may be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord. Not just to please men, not just to have a name among men, but being motivated by the love for God. What does it mean, every secret thing? Every secret thought and intent of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
There are six things about the attitude of the heart, and it pertains to the law of love in the heart and doing the honorable thing unto our brother. Jesus said in Matthew 5:21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. In Matthew 5:27, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in the heart. In Matthew 5:33, it is written, again, Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said of them by of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Matthew 5:38, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Matthew 5:43, Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. In all these sayings, Jesus is saying there is a better way, the way of godly love. Then he closes by saying, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. David is pleading here in our text, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. In other words, he's saying, I want to be pleasing unto you, O Lord, by keeping your statutes unto the end.
Amen.
There are legal and holy commandments, such as, thou shalt not kill. The law of Moses is the legal command. The legal command and the holy commandment are both to be obeyed. The higher commandment is the holy commandment. For example, in 1 John 3:23 we read, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment.
Amen. Yeah.
This is a holy commandment in which the Father has given us and in which he placed upon the name of Jesus his Son and has given all authority under him. And there is a legal commandment in the same verse. Love one another as Christ has commanded you. The message that we are trying to learn in Psalms 119 is about the struggle of a believer in the fulfillment of his life. He wants God's nearness. He wants God's love. He wants God's favor. And he wants to know his will. And David says, Lord, teach me thy will. He wants to come into the fulfillment and completeness in his life of godliness by observing this holy commandment and to stand in holy reverence of the authority that is placed upon the name of the Son of God. It is hereby we come to the fulfillment and the completeness in this life of godliness. That is how we come to the completeness of which David is speaking of. In 1 John, John wrote, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. When Christ is in you, it is reflected by your attitude and the spirit that you have. That which comes out of the mouth reveals what is in the heart.
Amen.
It is the spirit that is in a person. It is by their attitude that is reflected by what they say, is what we see, what is in their heart. Now the believer desires a life of fruitfulness. And this is what draws the words of our text out of David's heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it to the end. He has a desire for prospering in doing the will of God. He wants to have God dwelling in him. He wants Christ to dwell in his heart, and he wants to reflect that Spirit of Christ, as we see in 1 John chapter 3. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us.
Amen.
And how does he do that? He says, teach me the way of thy statutes. And he knows that for him to enjoy prosperity in knowing God, he must walk in the way pleasing to God. We see this in 1 John chapter 3. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight.
Amen.
You can see what we ask, we receive by what we do, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. What are we looking for? What are we seeking? Are we looking for Christ to dwell in us? Are we looking to be prosperous in Christ? Are we looking for fellowship between us and our God?
Yes, amen.
How do we find it? By coming before the Lord and praying, Lord, teach me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy commandments. David wanted to have God dwelling in him and in his heart. There are two things that meets the eye in our text. First, faith to believe that what we will receive, we ask for. Hebrews 11 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Can you see what David is after here? He's after the reward. David has faith. He says, I will keep it to the end. He has faith to believe that he will receive it. He says, teach me, and I shall. David is praying with faith. In Mark 11, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Do you see why it's so important to believe as you pray? Believing and you will receive. Can you see what David is saying? Teach me, and he believes it with a vow, and I will keep it. How? By the grace of God. He's asking for it to be granted, and he's already putting it into action because he believes he's going to receive it. Jesus said, I say unto you, what things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believing that you receive them, and you shall have them. So faith is the first thing we see in prayer. When our hearts are right before our God, and when we want our hearts searched with the light of His countenance to see if there be any evil way in us, but he that doeth the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made known, that they are wrought in God. David had all the teaching of the scribes and all the teachers that were valuable to him. And yet his prayer in our text, teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I will keep them to the end. David had the best teachers of his day. But what he wanted was the teaching of the Spirit of God. Even all the advantages that we have with the whole Bible, we are not ahead of David. He wrote in a prophetic way about the same blessed Redeemer we read about in the New Testament. We are not ahead of David. We will never come to the point in which we don't need a teaching. David, with all the advantages with the teachers of his day and the spirit of prophecy in his heart, he still had to ask, Lord, teach me.
Amen.
There is a constant learning in the ways of God. It is true that we have many teachers who David did not have. We have all the teachers spoken of in 1 Corinthians 11 and Ephesians 4:11. We have apostles. We have the prophets. We have evangelists. We have pastors. And we have teachers that David did not have. And we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But do you see why we need teachers in the church?
Oh, yeah.
Teachers of the Word. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God,
amen,
unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have these teachers available to us. And yet with all these advantages that David did not have, we still have the need for the Lord to be our teacher.
Amen. Amen.
In other words, we still need the Holy Spirit to open our heart and to bring the light of the countenance of God into our heart, that we will still never understand, or we will never understand the Word of God. There are many today that have the Word, but for some reason, they can't read it. You can read it to them, and they will argue in excess. They will not comprehend it. They will not accept what it says, because their eyes are still blinded, and they will not come to the light. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Mm-hmm.
You and I can do all the cultivating, all the planting, all the watering we can do until God gives the increase and opens up their understanding. They will still never understand. We may be able to boast that we know our Bibles, but without the Spirit's teaching, we are still strangers in Christ. John 16 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Mm-hmm. For he will not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Until the Holy Spirit opens our understanding, we will not understand what Christ says. Jesus prayed. He prayed, I thank thee, Father of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Mm-hmm. And what things are those wise and prudent he has revealed unto babes? And what things are those except the need of true repentance? True repentance, that change of mind, that change of heart, the new birth, the need of those things that have been hid from the wise and prudent. Divine teaching by the grace of the Holy Spirit is needed for all those who walk in the way of God's statutes. You and I want to walk in the way of the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
The scribes and Pharisees wanted to also. They did nothing but study the law of God. But their hearts were puffed up, and they became their own authority within themselves. And they wrote the commandments of men that divided them from the law of God. If we are going to walk in the ways of God, we need the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We need to be born again, yeah, in which we are given a new man and a new heart.
Yeah.
In other words, our new heart, new man, is designed to know and to do the will of God.
Amen.
The word of our text, teach me, O Lord. We need Christ as our teacher.
Amen.
We need him to teach us,
amen,
his will.
Mm-hmm.
We need him as our bishop, which means a teacher, but also our superintendent. It means an officer in charge. It means a guard, one who is on guard. We need the Lord Jesus Christ not only to be our shepherd, but we need to be him. Need him to be our guard.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We need him to be on guard,
mm-hmm,
and to teach us.
Yes.
We need him as our officer in charge, the captain of our salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
He is also our advocate, our great high priest.
Amen.
When we send our children to school, they start in kindergarten. They learn how to color. They learn how to read. But if they don't put reading and coloring into practice, they will never get to grade 2. And so it is with the teaching of the Lord. When we want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to learn to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of our Lord. If we have not put into practice what He has already taught us, we stop learning. We will never move up to the next level. Micah wrote this in Micah 6:8. He says, "He has showed thee, O man." What is he saying? David said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." Micah said, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good." In other words, he has already given you teaching. He has already given you instruction. Take that which you now have and put it into practice. Unless it is put into practice, it will testify against you. When we come before the Lord, as David did, and ask, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statute," God will enroll you into His school, and you will learn in God's classroom. How is He going to teach us? Send an angel down to teach us? No. He sent His Son, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. It is written in Deuteronomy 8:2, "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or not. And He humbled thee, and He suffered thee to hunger. He fed thee with manna. And when thou knewest not, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live."
Amen.
We have enrolled into God's school, and now He wants us to do what He says. God is saying, "I'm going to prove you to know what's in your heart." Now we have entered into the classroom of Christ.
Amen.
And this is where we learn by walking in His footsteps.
Amen.
He learned obedience in what He suffered. And we are no better than our Master. Amen. This is where we learn obedience too.
Amen.
Hosea said, "Then we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared in the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth." And I'll close with this. Remember the parable of the sower? In Mark 4:20, Jesus said, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Amen.
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 Are there any questions or comments you'd like to add?
Pretty good, Brother Ron.
You opened up quite a few things. I mean, there's a lot of things to think about. And I was thinking how you start out with David, okay, who did not have the apostles' teachings or Christ's teachings at this point in his life. You talked about Solomon from Ecclesiastes. Now, Solomon being the wisest of all men because he prayed for wisdom, and David being a king of the Jews, who to lead the Jews, and he sought "Teach me thy statutes." So, and both of these brethren from the old scriptures were lauded in the world because of their one because of their wisdom, one because of his leading. So they were, you know, quite famous and useful people for God. But yet you took that wisdom, which is that Solomon had, was a wisdom man to man. See, but he was raised up for that. And then you pointed to Christ, who is greater than Solomon is here.
Amen.
You pointed to Christ. Now his wisdom superseded Solomon's wisdom. Yes. Not that we can't learn from Solomon, but his wisdom is between man and God, not
Amen.
Man and man. So mm-hmm. both of those are legitimate, and both of those it opens great things to us. Mm-hmm. In David's case, he sought learning and teaching, and Christ came from his lineage. He is the real king of the Jews, which, as we know later on, we're all Jews by faith. It's imputed to us. But he was the real king of the Jews. Jesus was. And he told us to learn from God. Learn from me. He says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, you know, and I'll give you rest, which means you're not at rest. And we all experience this where our souls are telling us, I'm not adequate.
Drink.
I need more.
Amen.
I want to please God. I can't do it on my own. And he's telling us, come to me as the king, and I'll give you rest.
Amen. Amen.
So this opened up a lot of things you opened up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, as Brother Rich was saying, you know, you take the, if you will, the highest of men's knowledge and intellect and understanding in the earth, and yet here's one of these men that you're referring to as David as being such a one, mm-hmm. and yet he recognized that he needed divine help.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. If he was going to have this understanding, if he was going to be able to walk in the ways of the Lord, he needed the Lord to provide these things. These are things that he's asking the Lord for, because he recognizes that these are not things that he can attain to in his own strength. So from that perspective, see, he was given this understanding of he had a heart's desire for them, but yet he could not attain to them.
Mm-hmm.
And as you ministered, see the provisions of these very things that he asks for are all provided in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things as you were going through this, I'm thinking these are all things that the exalted Christ is now giving to his people.
Amen.
He's the teacher. He's the one, mm-hmm. and he's taken it far beyond just the teaching of the statutes of God. Mm-hmm. He's teaching us the way of the statutes of God.
Amen.
He is that way.
Amen.
You brought all
Amen.
These things out. And,
right.
and I'm just thinking, as you're talking about this understanding, this is like the same prayer that Paul prayed for the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Open up the eyes of our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
See, so there's a... Now that the provision has been made in Christ, David was looking forward to that provision. He was not able to take hold of the fullness of it, because you said, mm-hmm. you know, sin hadn't been put away yet, the Lord Jesus hadn't come yet, he hadn't died, been buried and raised from the dead and exalted to the right hand of God. Paul's saying now, in view of that, he's going to answer this prayer, because this is what Jesus is doing now. He's giving you strength to walk in the way. See, these are things that he desired,
Amen.
And now Jesus is doing this. He says, turn us away. Remember when he said, the Lord has, having raised up Jesus from the dead, he has sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from his iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these things.
Amen. Amen.
And I appreciate how you tied all those things together.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know, the first thing I noticed was that you said David pleads for God to help him. Well, David was a king, you know, but yet he humbled himself and went to God and asked him for help. He wanted to be close to God, but he knew he couldn't do it, like these brothers have said. He knew he couldn't do it. He humbled himself before God and asked him for help. And as we well know, this Adamic nature we have rebels against humbling oneself before mm-hmm. anybody, let alone God Almighty. But it just goes to show you that even a person of a kingly authority has to kneel, humble themselves before God, and ask for help. They cannot do it on their own. And then I thought about how King Jesus humbled himself before God Almighty,
Amen.
And humbled himself and came down to this earth so that we might live and have life and have it more abundantly mm-hmm. by giving himself, humbling himself before Almighty God and laying down his life and taking it up again that we might live.
Amen.
And so is it too much for God to ask us to humble ourselves before him? not when Jesus has laid down his life, a ransom for all.
Amen.
What I was seeing in this, that we want more. Mm-hmm. What little we see, we want more. And I related that to David. He saw what he needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wanted more. Mm-hmm. And in Christ, we see what we have, and we want more.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
We don't want to be content with what you said. Yes. We don't want to be content with what we know. We want to continue to learn and want more. And we ask God constantly for understanding, knowledge, mm-hmm. and wisdom. Mm-hmm. And it only mm-hmm. can be done by Him, given by Him. Mm-hmm. But that is the desire of true believers. Mm-hmm. That they this Amen. Is what the things that they want. Amen. Desire.
Anyone else?
If you tell I want no more. I was thinking about when you were talking about lukewarmness. I don't think the Lord would allow any of his children to treat me in lukewarmness. Jesus said, because you are neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. And you mentioned something at the end there. But the soils will be checked by God and will be shown for what they are, yeah. and they will receive their just reward. I was also thinking of Proverbs 3, and then also Paul in Hebrews 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The true child says, show me your path, show me your ways, teach me. Yeah. The true child, God's ways are not grievous to him, but they're embraced. And also, our lives are a continual teaching by the Holy Spirit in the ways that we would walk, and we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. In this matter of having these godly desires of wanting to know more and understand mm-hmm. more and have more wisdom, the revelation of the very person of God's nature and character encourages us to come to Him to ask for these very things. He says,
Amen.
He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We want to know that this truth about God is for His people. Mm-hmm. He's Amen. For His people. And then He says this, He says, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Amen.
See, it's God's desire for you to have all these things, to know these things, to understand these things, to have this wisdom. And how do I know that? Because Christ is exalted to the right hand of God. He's put Amen. Him in this place Amen. To afford this to his people.
Mm-hmm.
So this we want to see the truth and the reality of Almighty God, who he is, what his desires are, what his heart's desire, what his purpose is. And see, he's made all things effective unto us attaining to these things.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good.
Yes, thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Yes.
In 1 John chapter 3, as you read there, Brother Rod, John, he more or less updates what Solomon had said, you know, that fear God, this is the whole duty of man. As he said, that the whole duty of man has been brought up to a higher level now in the domain of faith.
Oh, yeah.
That this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment.
Yeah.
Now you can just give yourself 100% to that. Because that's the whole, that's actually, it's all summed up in that. Believing on Jesus, loving the brethren. See, believing on Jesus, now that's large in scope. That's a very large, mm-hmm. You know, encompasses a lot, you know, very large area of truth and reality. But that's, well, that is the whole duty of man.
Yeah.
It's been brought into the realm of faith now.
Yes.
It's in believing.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
As you were reading down through here, even though David penned the Psalms in the time of the law, he wasn't just repeating, like, you know, the laws of Moses. Look how much higher this is. And it's actually more similar to the writings of Paul, because he wove together in the same verse, on and on and on, what he was wanting to do and what God was doing. He would ask God to do something, but that would cause him to do more. It's like when Paul wrote that it's God that works in you to will and do. Here, I just you can look at this and see, but here's just a couple of examples. God quickens, teaches, yes. makes, strengthens, he grants, he enlarges. But what do we do, or what did David do in this case? We choose, we declare, like his words, we mm-hmm. talk of them. His soul melts. I like this one. This is one of my favorite ones. He says, I will stick unto.
Yeah.
Cling unto the Lord. I will run. I will keep. So this is the way of the... You mentioned grace quite a few times, even though the Old Covenant is not known. Mm-hmm. But David had an understanding to the degree he could at that time that God was working in a gracious manner toward him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Are we going to take a break?
Yes.
Okay, should I?
Yes.
Pray for us.
Please.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to fellowship with one another through your word.
Amen.
We also thank you, Lord, for the fellowship with one another as we enjoy each other's company and the hands are prepared for our small break. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless us as we gather back together. Mm-hmm. That we may be taught your word, Lord, and that so we grow in grace and understanding.
Yes.
Thank you for your kindness, love, and your love, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 You did mighty fine, brother. Mighty fine.
Thank you.